Thank you, Mark, for leading us in praise and worship. I was seated there and I was thanking God for the things he has taught me about the world history. Because I began to read history, the history of Uganda and Africa and Europe, Israel. I began on 9th October, Independence Day. That's when I was like, hey, let me start, Uganda. So that day, 9th October, I bought the papers because, of course, they talk about how we got independence. So there's some history there. So that's how I started. I read that paper, then then I began to buy books, Ugandan history. Then after, when I finished them, Africa. So anyway, I was sitting there and I was thanking God for what he has taught me, in these months. Because it's not yet a year. Remember, I began in October. And I was like, hey, God, you've taught me about Uganda. You've taught me about Africa. You've taught me about Europe. You've given me more insight about Israel, So I was like, hey, thank you so much. Okay, now I know something. Now I am part of the world. Like if I should say, I live in the world, If you live in the world, you should know where you live, a little bit at least. So I was thanking God for that. So when we began to sing that song of Thank You, Lord, for me I was actually thanking him for the knowledge of history he has given me. And I was praying that it will be of benefit to the kingdom of God. All right? I remembered that dream where we're going to influence nations, okay? And I was like, yeah, that info will be useful. When you know the world in which you're operating, you go to a country, you can't, anyway, yeah. Glory be to God. The last time we were here, the topic was filling God's house. And we were saying that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And we are encouraging ourselves that our mission is to work with Jesus in that regard by preaching the gospel of salvation to those who are not saved. And we saw that those who will do that, those who will preach to the unsaved, they will get a soul winner's crown. All right? That crown which God showed Kenneth Hagin. Then we say that we prayed that God should give us a burden for lost souls, all right? Rick Joyner, in the book, he drank, he tasted that tear, the tear of God, the tear that came out of love for souls. With that, he got the impartation to love lost souls, like God loves them, and so that he can reach out to them. Hallelujah. So today, the topic today, I don't know if I didn't want to check. I think we have ever had a Bible study on suffering. Okay? Because we're going to page 42, 41. All right? Actually, page 41. Definitely, we must have had a Bible study where we talked about suffering. But for some reason, I thought we should study it again. All right? And I didn't want to go and check whatever. I was like, I don't want to know. I just felt like God was leading us to talk about that. Especially since we talked about martyrdom on Sunday and because of what we shared, that word of the week, talking about the things Elvis is involved in, definitely there's a degree of suffering that comes with that. All right? So God wants us to know that it is part of the package. Okay? It comes with what? With serving God. Hallelujah. So today's topic, we're calling it the honor and glory of suffering. All right? Suffering for Christ is an honor All right? The earlier you get to know that, the better. But most of you know it, or all of you know it. But once in a while, it's good to be reminded. All right? It is an honor to suffer for the Lord. Okay? And there is a glory that comes with suffering for the Lord. Okay? Like we shall see, or like we shall be reminded. So the topic is the honor and glory of suffering. Okay? But the context of the suffering is, you know, suffering for Christ's sake or for God's sake. Amen? Our theme scripture is 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Are you there? Or you're not planning to open? 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. From verse 12 to 16. Peter says, verse 12, for those of you who listen to this teaching in days to come, we are studying the Bible, reading Rick Joyner's book, The Final Quest. We are using the 2010 edition, and the copyright information page is our page one. All right? So, 1 Peter chapter 4, from verse 12, it says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." Okay? Rachel, have you read that? Yeah. God says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." All right? He says, it's not strange. You understand? Okay? It's not strange. Don't think it's strange. It is part of the package. Okay? It is what you signed up for. Okay? Actually, what you should find strange is if what? The fiery trial doesn't come. That's strange. You understand? So he says, "Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings." Do what? Rejoice to the extent that you partake, all right, of Christ's what? Sufferings, okay? Most of us, we have listened to someone's teachings about how to, you know, partake, you know, of the grace that is upon someone who is anointed by God. Okay? However, we haven't heard so much about partaking of Christ's what? Sufferings. Glory be to God. All right? And he says, when you partake of those sufferings, rejoice. Okay? Rejoice. Okay? Then he says that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you're reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer, for stupidity. All right? Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Okay, don't suffer for stupid things. The only thing you should suffer for is, you know, when you're doing good, when you're, you know, you're working with the Lord, and somehow the enemy brings up stuff, you know. That one, you know, count it joy. But he's saying, but don't suffer for being a murderer, for being a thief, for being an evildoer, for evil. You understand? Eh? Then he says in 16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. Hallelujah. All right? Okay? So, we are expected to partake of Christ's sufferings. Hallelujah. And we shouldn't think it strange when those sufferings come in form of trials. You understand? It is not strange. Okay? And it says that we should rejoice about it. Okay? You remember the apostles in the book of Acts, they'd been told not to preach anymore in the name of the Lord. They were flogged, they were caned, okay, and released. And as they went, guys were rejoicing. They rejoiced, okay, for having been counted worthy to suffer for Jesus. Can you imagine the flog, you know, canes, and then after that, man, you go and what? You rejoice, you throw a party. Because man, you know, what an honor to suffer for Christ's sake. They rejoice, man, for having been counted worthy. All right? So that means that some people are not counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. Other people, God is like, yeah, this one is worthy to suffer for me. This one, you know, eh? All right. That essentially is what we're going to talk about today. Amen. So at the end of this Bible study, you should be encouraged. Eh? If you are in any form of suffering, which is not due to wrongdoing, okay, but maybe it's the enemy, you know. Maybe your faith is being tested, you know. Okay, and the enemy is trying to, you understand, you should be encouraged that it is not strange, and God is for you, okay, and actually it's happening because, you know, you've been counted worthy to suffer for Christ's sake. You remember Job, okay, I mean, God, you know, boasted about Job. You see, the devil came, and God is like, where have you been, okay? And the enemy was like, you know, I've been to and fro the earth, you know. And God asks him that, have you considered my servant Job? You know, have you, you know. Then he says, he's faithful, you know, my, you know. Okay, there's no one like him. Okay, and then he's like, okay, you go and see. And the enemy went and man, terrorized him, But, of course, Job didn't know what, he didn't know about the conversation that had happened in heaven. Okay? So all of a sudden, he just saw his kids dying, animals, you understand? Losing everything. Okay? But he doesn't know that the reason why it was happening was because God had counted him worthy to suffer for his sake. God was like, have you considered my servant Job? You understand? All right? Yeah. Okay, so let's open the final quest. Like I told you, page 41. Page 41. We're going to read like almost everything. 41, 42, and the first chapter of 43. So, yeah. That's, 41. We're going to start from that paragraph that is entitled The Glorious Ego. Have you seen it? Okay. So, Regina says, I looked at the old ego. Remember this ego, eh? It was a prophet, you remember? So he said, I looked at the ego, at the old ego, and for the first time I noticed the scars among his torn and broken feathers. However, The scars were not ugly. They were lined with gold that was somehow not metal, but rather flesh and feathers. I could see that this gold was giving off the glory that emanated from the eagle and made his presence so awesome. "Why did I not see this before?" I inquired. "Until you have beheld and appreciated the depth of the treasures of salvation, you cannot see the glory that comes from suffering for the sake of the gospel. Once you have seen it, you are ready for the tests that will release the highest levels of spiritual authority into your life. These scars are the glory that we will carry forever. This is why even the wounds our Lord suffered are with him in heaven. You can still see his wounds and the wounds that all of his chosen ones have taken for his sake. These are the medals of honor in heaven." The scars, eh? They are the medals of honor in heaven. "All who carry them love God and his truth more than their own lives. These are the ones who followed the Lamb wherever he went, willing to suffer for the sake of truth, righteousness, and the salvation of men. True leaders of his people who carry genuine spiritual authority must have first proven their devotion this way." Let us pause a bit. Eh? You've read it. Eh? Okay, scars. Okay, are what? Are medals of honor in heaven. Of course, scars come, you know, as a result of suffering. Glory be to God. And the suffering that you encounter for the sake of the Lord, all right? It actually, if you suffer well in it, okay, if you go through it well, okay, you get medals of honor. Okay, here it says that actually, it says that true leaders of God's people who carry genuine spiritual authority must have first proven their devotion this way. All right? They must have gone through fiery trials. Glory. That is, you remember? It says that genuine spiritual authority. Not charisma. All right? Not, you understand? Genuine spiritual authority. And like we learned somewhere in the final quest, only the humble can recognize that authority. You remember? We saw it. Eh? Okay, only the humble can what? Recognize. Eh? You remember when Rick Jr. saw when Christians were going to be hit by the enemy? You remember? Because of pride, eh? They were advancing in pride, and because of that, they were going to be hit. Eh? Okay? Then he wanted to go and warn them. Eh? Okay? Then, it was, I think, the ego or someone. Eh? Wisdom. Eh? Wisdom told him, don't. Can you imagine people are going to be hit? Eh? Okay? And wisdom is like, don't tell them. Okay? And he was told that they are not going to listen to you. You understand? He was told that only those, only people who are clothed with a mantle of humility will recognize the authority that you have and they will listen to you. You understand? Those who are not humble, you know, can't recognize that authority, so they won't listen to you. You know, eh? Okay, so he says, here, genuine spiritual authority. That's what is key, genuine. Hallelujah. And that genuine spiritual authority can only be recognized by humble people. You understand? Yeah? Okay, so those who carry, or who will carry you, okay, who will carry genuine spiritual authority, okay? It says here, you must have first been proved, okay, by suffering, or your willingness to suffer. For the sake, remember it said, for the sake of truth, okay, for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of the gospel. You understand? If you chicken out, you know, truth, you don't deserve to carry genuine spiritual authority. People will listen to you because of other things. You understand? But not because of authority from God. Hallelujah. And this authority, it is for now, you know, in this world, but also in the age to come. You remember? People are going to reign with the Lord using this authority, as we shall see. So it is for now and for the age to come. No one is going to reign with the Lord who wasn't willing to suffer for his sake. It ain't happening. Remember? The sermon on Sunday was martyrdom, the way to the throne. Glory be to God. Okay? So anyway, he said that that's why Jesus also has what? The scars. Eh? Okay? You remember when he rose again, he appeared to the disciples. Eh? Okay? And let's read it. John chapter 20. I know we know these things, but since we're doing a Bible study, we should open the Bible. Amen? Yeah. John 20, verse 19 and 20. It says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Why did he show them his hands? You know, there was something they were supposed to see in their hands. Those were scars. You know, I mean, why do you show someone hands? But it was evidence, you know, in his hands and in his side. All right? Now, verse 24, it says that now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. So he said to them, unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, those are the scars, and put my finger into the print of the nails, okay? The scars in his side, okay? Say, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. You understand, okay? This is just to show that actually Jesus had scars and he still has them. Then he says in verse 26, and after 8 days, his disciples were again inside and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. Then he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here and put it into my side. All right? Basically, the whole thing was to see and to feel the scars. Okay? Actually, people say that they're not really like scars, they're actually holes in Jesus's holes. You know where the nails, what? I think that's what Kenneth Hagin saw. They're holes, man. Okay? And Jesus has them in heaven. Okay? And all other Christians who suffered. You know, you don't have to, these scars are not just for being caned, okay, crucified. You know, their emotional scars. Do you understand? Everything you suffer, okay, affects you in one or the other, and it creates scars. So if you haven't been caned for Jesus' sake, you know, it didn't mean that for you you won't have scars, you won't have medals of honor, you know, okay. You have suffered somehow, okay, since you got born again. If you've been the things that you've did, okay. For some of you, anyway, I don't know how much, but you have suffered in one way or the other, okay? And all that suffering, you have scars, okay? Which are medals of honor. Glory be to God. I remember a few years ago, I was with Elvis, Cavaletta, you know, somewhere, you know, hanging out. We used to hang out every evening at Good African. We used to sit out there. Now, then, anyway, with some people, some other people that day. Then one of those people, because they always knew that I give away most of the money I have. So one of these guys who I expected to know better, the guy said, and you see, they are saying it as a joke, but you can see they mean it. He meant it. Say that, you know, this guy, Moses, didn't like nice things. Then I think they began to laugh. Was it? I know that it was laughing at my shirt or what. Doesn't like nice things. But they all know what I use my money for, as in helping people, you know. And they began to laugh. Man, I remember sitting there, that thing hurt me so much. I was so hurt, and it is coming from someone, as in the least person you expect to say that. But now they are laughing. It's like a big joke. This guy, they like nice things. My thing hurt me. In fact, that night, I think it really hurt me so much that night I had a dream, okay, when my heart was bleeding. You see, I had a dream when my heart was what? Bleeding. You know, I think that's the depth which I was hurt. Okay? But I didn't know that I was hurt, but I was. You know, especially people who know better, people who know this sort of giving and what. Okay? And anyway, you see, then after months or a year later, that's when those dreams of Governor BOU started to come. Of course, years later, the F people thing, you know. So now you see, those things that I suffered, okay, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of being a blessing to others, all right? Now, you see, God is like, now you qualify, okay, to have a spiritual authority, genuine spiritual authority concerning financial prosperity. You understand? You suffered by being without what you would enjoy for the sake of being a blessing to others. You see what I mean? So you suffered, maybe you can't take a soda, so you can be a blessing to others. And then when you did that because you're not drinking a soda, someone laughs at you. You don't like nice things. You understand? Then it hurts. Okay? But you continue, you persevere through that. And God is like, now, you qualify to carry genuine spiritual authority, okay, concerning that area. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Yeah, so, I don't know what I'm what. This thing is not organized, but God is good. Hallelujah. Anyway, I just wanted to show you that Jesus has what? Kenneth Hagin saw holes, all right? In his holes, where you can, what? Whatever your eye and you see through, in Jesus' palms. Okay? Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verse what? George, verse what? You're the one who likes the word. Verse 17. Paul told the Galatians, he told them, from now on, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I bear in my body the marks, the scars, things he had suffered, the chiboko, you know. He said, you guys, from now on, stop molekela okumanyira. You understand? Then say, I bear in my what? In my body the marks of the Lord. You understand? So he was like, I've suffered for his sake. Like, you know, I've suffered for the Lord. And this gives me the authority to talk about what I'm talking about. So stop what? You understand? I carry authority in this area. You know, And what was the evidence? He says, look at the scars. All right? There's some of these guys in Uganda, the soldiers, you know, when people have disturbed, you know, guys who fought in the bush, the bush war, when guys are trying to what? Say, man, you know, do you know what I suffered? And guys, you know, show you understand, a guy has no arm, another guy is lame, you know, guys open their shirts and show you. Say, now, what are you talking about? And man, when you see the scars, you're like, man, the guy is wrong, but let me, you know, tone down. You understand? Okay, so the thing we suffered, you guys were sleeping, we suffered. So you see how what? Scars, you know, with suffering brings honor, brings authority. All right? So, Norman, you came later, but we used 1 Corinthians chapter 4, rather 1 Peter chapter 4 from verse 12 to 16. Why it says, I do not think it's strange, okay, when you go through fiery trials, okay? Don't think it's strange, okay? All right? But then it says, we suffer for good things and not for evil things, all right? And it says that when you do that, you know, when Jesus appears in his glory, you will be glorified with him. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's continue to read. James chapter 1, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 12. It says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. Temptation also there can be trials. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Okay? When he has been what? Approved. Okay? That means when you have gone through the suffering well, okay? Suffering is it's a trial, it's a test. Okay? And when you pass the test of suffering, okay, you are approved, and then you will receive the crown of life. A crown is for kings. Kings carry authority. Okay? You know, when I read all these things, these are verses today, it made me realize that the apostles or the early church knew something we don't know. I'm telling you, when you read Paul, when you read Peter, when you read, you know, all these guys, James, it's like all of them were saying there is no authority. You know, there is no reward. There is no glory, you know, except through suffering. You see, it's like guys knew something. And we should also know it because we are reading their works, isn't it? But for some reason, we think glory and honor are going to come another way. But this is, when I said to reason, it's like everywhere, it is their suffering, trial, and they're like, yeah, you know, that's how the glory comes. All right? You know, it's like, it's there all over the place. So here, Paul, James is saying, you know, after you have endured, you will receive the crown of life. You see, eh? Now some of us think there's another way to get the crown of life. Eh? But these guys were like, that's the only way. Hallelujah. It says you receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Okay? So in the context of this verse, who are those who love him? Huh? You understand? Eh? In the context of the verse, it's like this is how you prove that you love the Lord. When you're willing to suffer for his sake. And you suffer until you're approved. Until you say you are now or you say has passed. According to this verse, those are the ones who love the Lord. Hallelujah. Suffering. You lose friends. You know, I mean, there's so many things, man, that you have to suffer. Okay? But good, those are the ones, and those are the ones who love me, and those are the ones who receive the crown. In the final quest, he said that those are the ones who will receive genuine spiritual authority. Okay? Genuine, which can only be discerned by the humble. You remember? Genuine. Now, I would want to have genuine spiritual authority. I'm telling the truth. Genuine spiritual authority. I don't want to have this fake what? Spiritual authority. Of course, which is not authority at all. When it's about, you understand? It's just carnality, which attracts, which makes kind of people listen to me. You understand? Man, I don't want that stuff, man. But I want to have a genuine spiritual authority. All right? Where man, angels appear to Alan in a dream and tell man, take that guy very what? Seriously. Now, that's cool. You see? And when I learned that, I'm like, I don't even want to have what? Charisma. Okay, if the charisma, God adds it to me, that's good. But if the charisma will deceive me into thinking that I have spiritual authority, then I don't want it. Sagala charisma, you understand? I want to have the real thing. I'm telling you the truth. Anyway, hallelujah. Let's continue to read the final question, okay? Okay, so we stopped at that sentence that was saying that true, that is page 41, that sentence that says that true leaders of his people who carry genuine authority must have proven their devotion this way, the way of suffering. Then Rick Jr. says that I looked at the leader of the company of angels that followed me. I had never witnessed deep emotion in an angel before. But these words were unquestionably moving him greatly, as well as the rest of the angels. I really thought they were about to cry. Then the leader spoke. We have witnessed many wonders since the creation, but the voluntary suffering of men for the Lord and for their fellow men is the greatest wonder of all. The voluntary suffering of men for the Lord and for their fellow men is the greatest wonder of all. Now that is remarkable. George, you think the greatest wonder of all is Judith? You are mistaken. You are in deep deception. Okay? The angels here are saying that the greatest wonder of all is the voluntary suffering of men for the sake of the Lord and for the sake of their fellow men. The greatest wonder is not when you have all, basically when you're the most prosperous. Okay? Yes, you are the most prosperous, and then you decide to suffer, okay, by maybe giving away a large chunk of that fortune. And then you begin to be without some things. Eh? Of course, you begin to be inconvenienced, eh? To suffer the lack of something because you gave it away. Eh? Okay? Here the angel is saying, that is the greatest wonder of all. They are not awed by what? Having too much. But they are awed by you having something that is of benefit to you, then you give it away, you know, you give it away, and your inconvenience, you suffer, and yet they're saying that is the greatest wonder of all. Glory be to God. Amen? You suffer, you know you're going to say the truth, and you suffer for it. You see now that is voluntary suffering, eh? You're like, but for God's sake, eh, this is the truth. Okay? And you know, the angel is saying, that is the greatest wonder of all. When you can opt out, you can, you understand? Eh? But you're like, no. Eh? And you say, that is the greatest wonder of all. Isn't this awesome, man? Hallelujah. Okay? Then the angel continues and says that we too must fight and even suffer at times. Okay? You see? So angels also suffer, eh? At times. Eh? They also get hammered, you know. Eh? Okay? So, we suffer at times. But we dwell where there is such light and glory that it is very easy to do this. It is very easy for them to suffer. Okay? Then he says, when we see men and women choose to suffer for a hope they can see only dimly in their hearts, it causes even the greatest angels to bow their knee and gladly serve these heirs of salvation. We marvel at the dedication of you who dwell with so little encouragement in a place of such darkness and evil. They marvel. Alright? At first, we did not understand why the Father decreed that men would have to walk by faith, suffering great opposition while not having the benefit of beholding the reality and the glories of the heavenly realm. Eh? Okay? Now, I mean, when you think about LAT, you know, there are these promises, the dreams about what? You know, eh? And for those of you who have heard of those dreams, you have listened to them and read them, eh? Even when you read them, you see them dimly. Eh? You see them dimly. Eh? And for a moment, you see, eh? You see it dimly. And then, even when you've seen dimly for a moment, you are like, for that reason you opt to suffer for things you see dimly, you know, eh? Now, I remember like that, you remember months ago when people began to leave church because of the things God has showed us about Elvis and we had spoken them out, eh? All right? And soon, eh, people started to leave, like, whoopee, you know, eh? Then, during that time, Sandra gets a dream. Eh? You remember? That dream where, man, church was empty. There were like five people. And then she said, and then all of a sudden, eh, okay, people came and filled the entire hall. Eh? You remember? Now that dream was powerful. Eh? If there's someone who blessed is Joanne. You know, Joanne was so blessed by that dream. She's like, for sure, God understands. You understand? He knows what we're going through. Eh? You could see that's why he sent that dream, eh? To show you guys in Dinamwe, You know, okay. And I remember even me and that dream, Sandra told me that dream on Sunday as she drove me. Eh? Okay. But it was so impactful. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, I think for a week. You understand? It was like that was the greatest dream LAC has ever received. Eh? Then after that, you know, it begins to what? You know, then you reach a time when now the dream, you just know, yeah, that dream, yeah. So now you see, it's dim, eh? You know, Then, when that dream came, you're like, now, it is evidence that, we are on track, God is cheering us on, Okay, now you can, you know, say more, Okay? But, so you're doing all these things, but now it's dim, You know, And someone can ask, but what is the meaning? Why do you have to, don't you see how it's affecting you? People are leaving, you understand? You know, so these are the things that cause angels to marvel. Something is dim, okay? And it's not like they are, you know, there's an immediate fulfillment of the dream. You understand? Nothing, In fact, since that dream came, the numbers haven't increased. On the contrary, I think they are even less. Okay, so you would think next week, you know, a church is filling up. It's zero. So now you can say, man, let me what? Baka. But you remember the dream? It's dim. You're like, other days that, you know, we're on track. God is like, yes. You know, now, you see, you suffer, People leave, the worship team leaves, the worship is not as great as it used to be, However, it's not our fault, It's because the people who are singing are not there. You see what I mean, And God is like, yeah, I don't measure you, in reference to how it was. I measure it what is expected of you. This is the best you can offer me now. And I understand, Okay, so it's not as, so we are suffering as far as worship is concerned. It's no longer as wonder, Okay, and sometimes what makes worship great is also the number of people in a room. You understand? Sometimes it has nothing to do with the worship team, but there's that thing of corporate worship. The more you worship, you see, the greater, there's that combined effect, Okay? And so, the worship team, people left in the congregation, people left. So, even as we're all seeing, we are too, you understand? Okay, so we are suffering in that sense. Okay? The finances, they went down. Most of you should actually be asking yourself, how are we paying rent? You see? So anyway, so you suffer in all those things. Okay? You see? And you can be like, but let me stop saying these things so that people don't leave, so that other people, maybe those who are like, now you're good, I can come back. But the angel's saying, you're suffering for things you see dimly. And even just for a moment. And the angel here saying, that is the greatest wonder of all. Okay? And like we have learned, if you're willing to suffer for things, man, which, then say now you qualify for genuine spiritual authority. The key word being genuine, not hype authority, not marketing, all those things, charisma, genuine spiritual authority. Glory be to God. And sometimes, depending on how much authority God wants you to carry, okay, that will determine how much, okay, suffering you'll have to what? To endure. Because, remember, we read, you have to prove, it has to be, you have to be proved. You have to be proved. Glory be to God. Do you understand? I mean, if you're going to be a nuclear scientist, you understand, the tests, the exams you're going to do, are not for someone who's going to be, let's say, what, like a traffic officer? You understand? Honestly, there are stuff, you know what I mean? So sometimes I look back, and then you're like, But I always want to make sure that we're not doing anything wrong, Because it's another thing, again, to suffer for doing evil, That's A. But I look at LAT, then you're like, yeah. The principle remains, Because remember, this thing of what? The number one church, being the leading church in the city, okay? And there's a dream of being the largest, You understand? So there are things, that church has to endure, It has to be proved, Glory be to God. Okay? Between the place where promises are given, between that place of promise and the promised land, there is always a wilderness which is the exact opposite of what you are promised. We learned that from Rick Joyner, Okay? Between the place where the promise is given and the promised land, there is a wilderness. And very often, God doesn't tell you about that wilderness when he's giving you the promise. Okay? A wilderness which is the exact opposite of what you are what? Promised. And there is no way you are entering the promised land if you don't go through the wilderness. There are no shortcuts. And most people die there, Grumbling, complaining, saying, this is not God. You understand? This is not God. If you're going through this, it means this is not God. It means you are off, There's no prosperity and anointing. There's no, So he's like, yeah, that's how I'm proving what? Amen? Okay? So, we have stopped at that paragraph, which ends with darkness and evil. You've seen it? So let's continue to read. This is the angel. The angel, again, is speaking, saying, at first we did not understand why the Father decreed that men would have to walk by faith. Suffering great opposition, why not having the benefit of beholding the reality or the glories of the heavenly realm? But now we understand that through these sufferings, he proves their worthiness to receive the great authority. Sufferings come primarily for that reason, to prove, to test. Sufferings, again, like trial, test. A test, exactly, is a test to be passed, okay, or to be failed, okay? So, that through these sufferings, it proves their worthiness to receive the great authority, that they will be given as members of his own household. Glory be to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 to 18. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, perishing because of suffering, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, he's calling it light, as compared to what he's going to say. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You understand? When Paul looked at this exceeding and eternal weight of glory, that he was accumulating by reason of suffering, he said the suffering is light. The affliction is light compared to what is being accumulated by reason of it. It is light. It is a small thing. Okay? Then he says, while we do not look at the things which are seen. Okay? The things which are seen are the sufferings. They are seen. They are felt. They are real. They are not in the spirit. You understand? They are in the body. Okay? Say, why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Which things are not seen? Verse 17, it is the glory. Alright? The glory that is coming, all that you get because of the affliction. Okay? Why we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. Yeah? The sufferings, eh? Okay? But the things which are not seen, the glory is eternal. Glory be to God. It's eternal. You know, eh? And when you see that glory, you know, eh? You're like, man, eh? It's worth it. This suffering is worth it. Okay? That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. When you dimly see where LAT is headed, you know, you dimly see and, you know, you see it for a short time, you know, you're like, it's worth it. It's worth it. I know God is faithful. These are just tests which have to be passed. If we don't pass them, the promises won't be experienced. Then you're like, for me, my comfort is with these things is that as long as God is paying rent, you know, that is the main thing. As you know, he's paying rent and then he keeps sending dreams that you're doing good. You know, dreams you're doing good. You do something, you expose something, and then a commendation comes. I'm like, that is it. You understand? That, for me, those are my things. I don't care about what numbers. I just want to hear from what, which dream, you know, Okay? Then, you know, is he happy with, there we go. Hallelujah. So, Paul said that, you know, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing because of suffering, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You see, he's saying exactly what James said, what Peter says. There is no glory without suffering. You know, James said there is a crown of life, which the Lord will give to those who endure tests. You understand? Okay? There is no, it's not there. It's not there. Somehow the apostles knew it, but for us, this church, this generation, we think there's another way to glory. Because it's not there. Even prosperity, you have to give for you to increase. So that means you have to suffer some inconveniences. You understand? Yeah. And then you see, yeah. You know, anything, it's not, there is not there. And the earlier we learn that, the better. That's where it will help us to endure trials, endure, you know, suffering. Where you know there is light at the end of the tunnel. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I'm telling you, go back and read the New Testament. It's like, man, there was no glory, no crown, no anything, no anointing, no power, except through suffering. Some of the churches, you know, either the church has gotten so carnal that they even don't really see what the scriptures say. Man, this morning when I was preparing, I was struck by this thing. All right? Romans chapter 8, verse 16 to 18. Okay? Romans 8, from verse 16. Verse 16 reads, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." Okay? Now, I always used to think, brother, I'm telling you, we are so messed up. I always used to think that as long as you're a child of God, you're an heir. All right? But that's not what the Bible says. Okay, it says that, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Then it says, if indeed we suffer with him. Okay? So the people who are going to be heirs are those who are going to what? To suffer with him. An heir, you know, reigns, isn't it? Okay? Crown prince. So you see what I mean? So an heir, here is talking about reigning. No one is going to reign with the Lord who didn't suffer with him. Actually, it says that somewhere, what? With Timothy, Paul wrote to Timothy, it says that, you know, if we endure, and he said that if we suffer with him, if we endure, then we shall reign with him. You remember, And this is what, again, he's saying, He's saying heirs of God, you know, are joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. You know, No one is going to be glorified with the Lord who hasn't suffered with him. So you see again, glory coming after suffering. These are not, man, these messages cannot grow churches. A church can't grow by what? These messages. You preach this message for a whole year. I'm telling you, the people who will come and join that church, they will be authentic fellows. I'm telling you the truth. That's why these things are not preached, man. I mean, people have problems. They need to be inspired, motivated, encouraged. Category. Already they are what? Suffering. Now you're preaching what they have to suffer. As in really. No. You see? And first of all, the things there, with suffering, it is just they're suffering because of stupidity. You understand? Someone murdered someone, now they're suffering. Remember? Peter said, don't suffer for those things. Don't be a murderer. Don't be this. You understand? We suffer for good things. Peter said that in what? 1 Peter 4. So people are suffering for those things, and then they think they're what? They're suffering, and maybe and they'll be rewarded for that kind of. No. You're suffering for stupidity has no glory. Hallelujah. It is suffering for truth, suffering for righteousness, suffering for the sake of the gospel. Okay? Suffering for the sake of humanity. Okay? Man, you know I'm a grace preacher, a new creation, those things. So I already thought we are all what? Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. This morning, it hit me that, hey, wait a minute, not all of us are going to be heirs. It says, if indeed, read your Bible, it says, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. It is essentially what L.A.T. is always speaking about, sitting on the throne. Not every Christian is going to sit on the throne. Not everyone is going to be crowned as an heir, as a king. It is just that. Hallelujah. Suffering. Alan. I came with Alan. I gave him a lift to church today. And I told him that, man, I commend you because Alan is one of those who has shared. He has five dreams about you know, the things Elvis is involved in, and he has been bold to tell one or two people, you know. And I told him, man, I commend you. You see, okay? Because in our circles, man, you're just going to lose friends, okay? If your business has been because you're in Zoe, you're going to lose it. And I think that's why some people, what? There is no way that God only told one pastor about whatever it is. It's impossible. He told others either directly or through their sheep. Because they say, Pastor, I had this dream. Then the pastor says, you know what? Maybe it shows what the enemy is planning. So let us pray. You understand? It cannot be only two pastors who God has told these things. But people have churches because of association with Zoe. So man, a guy, he counts the cost, say, Okay? People have fellowships. Because what? Either they, you understand? The day they realize, your fellowship will be empty. People have business. People get deals, work things. Okay? The people in music, they get to be given weddings to sing at because of what? Now, man. The day you disconnect, no more. How are you going to parent? So you can see, So people are not willing to suffer. And God is like, they don't deserve genuine spiritual authority. And they don't qualify to be heirs. They don't qualify for any glory. That is very sad. Okay? May we not be like that, all right? Hallelujah. Okay? Yes. This walk of faith, the angel is still speaking. He says, this walk of faith is now the greatest wonder in heaven. Those who pass this test are worthy to sit with the Lamb on his throne, for he has made them worthy and they have proven their love. You can see the same point is being made over and over in different words. Okay? The point being, there is no glorification without suffering. There is no reigning without trials. You understand? It is that simple, man. No one is sitting. You remember Revelation 3:21? Jesus says, those who overcome, I will make them to sit with me on my throne. Those who do what? Overcome, Overcoming is not a laughing matter. Okay? Then he says, just as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Do you know what he overcame? The shame of the cross, you understand? Being spat at. He was God in glory. And he came down as a man, as a servant. That is bad enough. He overcame, and that's why he was given a name that is above every other name. He was glorified because he suffered. The Bible says that he was obedient, to the point of death, even death on the cross. Obedient to the point of what? Death. And then he says it wasn't man, no more death. This death was so bad. It was on a cross, naked. Okay? But Hebrews say that he despised the shame, okay? Because of the glory that he saw coming, Hebrews 12, he says that, okay? Because of the glory that was going to come through it, he despised the shame. He was like, this is a light matter, let me go through it, because man, what I see ahead when I pass this test. Hebrews 12. You want to read it? Let's read it. I didn't prepare it, but Hebrews chapter 12, I know how it starts. It starts with telling you about the cloud of witnesses. Hebrews 12, it says, verse 1 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance. You see it? Endurance. The race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And what is the result? Has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. All right? There is no glorification without enduring certain things. Okay? Yeah, let's continue. The final quest. I think this should be page... that paragraph which starts, which has the heading, courage. Okay, courage. Have you seen it? That's page what? 42, okay. Then the ego interjected. Courage is a demonstration of faith. The Lord never promised that his way would be easy. He has never promised that. It is we preachers who tell you that God promised that his way would be easy. The Lord never promised that his way would be easy, but he has assured us that it would be worth it. You remember? He said that narrow is the gate. Okay? Narrow is the gate that leads. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Alright? So he says here, the Lord never promised that his way would be easy, but he has assured us that it would be worth it. The courage of those who fall from the level of salvation moved the angels of heaven to esteem what God has brought about in fallen man. The faithful warriors took their wounds in the terrible onslaught, while only beholding darkness and a seeming defeat of the truth, just as our Lord did on his cross. Nevertheless, they did not quit and they did not retreat. I was again starting to regret that I had not remained on the level of salvation and fought with those other brave souls. Once more understanding my thoughts, the ego interrupted them. By climbing the mountain, you are demonstrating faith and wisdom too. Your faith freed many souls so they could come to the mountain of salvation. You received some wounds as the warriors on the level of salvation did. But your authority in the kingdom has come more from acts of faith than from suffering. Because you have been faithful in a few things, you will now be given the great honor of going back to suffer, that you may be made a ruler over many more. You remember? The topic is the honor and glory of suffering. And this is where I got the honor bit from. Okay? Rick Jr. is being sent back, okay, so that he can be given the great honor. It is not just honor. It is the great honor, of going back to suffer. Okay? That he may be made a ruler over many more things. Then the angel said, but remember that we all work together for the same purposes, regarding of whether we are building or suffering. If you go higher, many more souls will fill these rooms to the great joy of heaven. You have now been called to climb and to build. But if you're faithful in this, you will later be given the honor of suffering. Hallelujah. Job was given that honor. The honor. God boasted about him. And was given the honor. Bambi, he didn't know of a meeting that had happened in heaven. He didn't know that man, God was like, you're my guy. Hallelujah. And it happens to all of us at times. God doesn't what? You just see things starting to happen. You don't know that man. There was a meeting held. And God is like, oh, your guy won't go. You go and test him. You go and try and see. Oh, your guy won't. Then you just see things starting to happen. Then things are getting bad. You think, man, where did I go wrong? Then, man, a dream comes from somebody or through you. When God is saying, you're doing a great job. I like your faith in this thing. So you're like, when did this thing start? I tell you, now you're talking about faith. How did this start? There was a conversation, man, that was held in your honor. Okay? Hallelujah. Do not think it strange when you go through what? Fiery trials. Matthew chapter 5. And today we have read the Bible a lot. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, not for stupidity. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And remember, we have learned from Paul and whoever that here we have to understand that it means they're going to be heirs. It is not just being in the kingdom, they are heirs. Okay, that's why it says the kingdom is theirs. They're not just in it, it is theirs. Okay? Romans 8, 18 said that those who suffer are the ones who are heirs. Okay? I used to think that all of us are heirs, but Paul didn't ever say that. He said those who suffer with him, are the ones who are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. We are all God's children, but Paul didn't say we are all heirs. It hit me this afternoon. Okay? So they are heirs of the kingdom. They are going to reign in the kingdom. And this is what Jesus is saying. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. This is what Peter was saying, isn't it? I realized that no apostle, ever contradicted Jesus. On every issue, by the way, if Paul is messing you up, there's something you don't understand. Go back and check where the Lord talked about it. There's no contradiction, man. Hallelujah. In fact, we haven't gotten there. But somewhere, You know, in Rick Joyner's experiences, he was told, Paul actually told him, okay, to stop esteeming his writings, Paul's writings, you know, more than the sayings of the Lord. You know, Then he told him that you can only understand me, okay, by what? First understanding the Lord. You remember, it's there, That's when I realized, in fact, basically he was saying that, man, give more weight to the Gospels, to the words of Jesus. And if you don't understand Jesus, then you're going to what? You won't understand Paul. Okay? Man, that hit me, Anyway, so anyway, you see this, what exactly these guys are saying, They are not contradicting the Lord. Jesus said those words who suffer for him, you know, theirs is a kingdom, Okay, then he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, Okay, great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. There is no glory without suffering. Hallelujah. Okay, then Rick Jr. says, I then turned and looked at the dark and foreboding door, which was written, the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, you remember that door? Okay. Just as warmth and peace had flooded my soul each time I looked at the great treasures of salvation, fear and insecurity gripped me when I looked at this door. Now it seemed that everything in me wanted to stay in this room, and nothing in me wanted to go through that door. Again, the ego answered my thoughts. Before you enter the door to any great truth, you'll have these same feelings. You even felt them when you entered into this room filled with the treasures of salvation. These fears are the result of the fall. They are the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The knowledge from that tree made us all insecure and self-centered. The knowledge of good and evil makes the true knowledge of God seem fearsome, when in fact every truth from God leads to an even greater peace and security. Even the judgments of God are to be desired because all of his ways are perfect. By now I had experienced enough to know that what seems right is usually the least fruitful path and is often the road to failure. Throughout my journey, the path of greatest risk was the path that led to the greatest reward. You hear that? The path of the greatest risk. Okay? Which means that, which also can mean that the path which, man, it seems dangerous, there's a lot of suffering on it. Okay? He says, it is usually the path to what? The greatest reward. Even so, each time it seemed that more was at stake. Therefore, making the choice to go higher became more difficult each time. I started to sympathize with those who would stop at some point in their sojourn and refuse to go on, even though I knew more than ever that this was a mistake. The only true security came from continually moving forward into the realms that required more faith, which meant more dependence on the Lord. You know, where you always go for things which require more faith. Things where there's too much to lose. And he said that path, you know, always is a path to the greatest rewards. Because like we have been saying, there is no glory without suffering. It ain't there. Okay? It's not there. Yes, it takes more faith to walk in the higher realms of the spirit, the ego added. The Lord gave us the map to his kingdom when he said, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But if you will lose your life for my sake, you will find it. Okay? That is a map to the kingdom of God. Eh? That verse, eh? By the way, it is in Matthew 10. Eh? Okay, it says, if you seek to save your life, okay, you freak away from trials which have been sent by God. Okay? Trials which have been sent to prove you, to test you, so that you can be rewarded, so that you can be glorified. But when the test comes, you know, so you're seeking to save your life, instead of going through the fire of suffering, suffering for the sake of truth, for the sake of righteousness, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of people, Okay, he said, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it. Glory be to God. Matthew chapter 10. That's the last thing we are reading. You can close your books. Matthew chapter 10. Are you there? Verse 39. Okay, we're just reading that verse, which Regina quoted. Verse 39 says, he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. All right? But now we want to see the context in which Jesus said that. Okay? So let's go to verse 34. From verse 34. Jesus says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Okay? Include your friends. No man. Include your friends in this what? Those people. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Okay? The reason why someone carries a cross is because they are going to be crucified on it. You understand? He says, he who does not take his cross, if you're not ready to die, if you're not ready to die, he says that you're not worthy of me. If you're not ready to die to your friends, to die to your mother, to die to your father, to die to your children. John, I'm talking to you. To die to that, what is that young boy's name? Man's. Jesus said, you're not worthy of me. Basically, if you love those people more than me, you're not worthy of me. And of course, not, them being whatever they're from me, suffering. It's not, saying you're not worthy of me. And that is the context in which he said that he who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Glory be to God. That ends our Bible study entitled The Honor and Glory of Suffering. Hallelujah. Amen. You are called to suffer. Glory be to God. Amen. Rachel, that's what you signed up for. Glory be to God. But, it doesn't end there. It says that if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. All right? He says that we are joint heirs, you know, we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Okay? If indeed we suffer with him. Okay? So the suffering then makes us heirs. Eh? Okay? So it says if we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Okay? Suffering brings glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus, James said, if we endure the temptation, the trials, then we shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord will give to those who do what? Who love him. That means that those who love him are the ones who endure through the suffering. Okay? But he says it doesn't stop there. They will receive the crown of life. They will reign with me. Glory be to God. Amen. And just to remind Joan, okay, the greater the authority God intends to give a person or a group of people, okay, the harder the tests. The tests of suffering. The more things you are going to endure. Why? Because God wants to prove, you understand? Go back and read, page 41, 42, especially those. All right? The whole of them. They're talking about the glory which comes through suffering. Okay? And the greater the authority a person is going to receive, or a group of people like a church, the more the challenges, the more tests they have to pass. Okay, the harder the test, the more the changes that will come. And God doesn't mean evil. He just wants to, so that he can say, yeah, the guy, he deserved it. Do you know what he went through? We read about the scars, which are what? Medals of honor. Scars were, now people have gone through emotional scars, things have happened for the sake of right. Those are what? Medals of honor. And we read that's what qualifies people to be given genuine spiritual authority. Not fake things, or charisma, hype and what. Genuine spiritual authority. Is given to people, who go through sufferings, and they have the evidence that they suffered. They have scars, spiritual scars for the things that they endured. Glory be to God. Amen.